We started out talking about spiritual gifts, if you all remember. It's been several weeks ago, and we've been just kind of going through a study of church structure as well. You know, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but like I was older whenever I turned my life over to the Lord, and then I came to church. And I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but in church we speak a different language. It's called Christianese. Okay, and sometimes we use terms and different things that people that come from the outside have never really heard or understand. And so I think it's good for us to kind of review those from time to time and understand why we do what we do and how that fits into whether or not we're doing it scripturally. Okay, and so we've been talking about the church leadership, biblical leadership, so we're going to kind of get back into that again today. And just talking about the structure of the church, and today the office that we're going to talk about in the structure of the church, it's a biblical office, is the office of deacon. And so we had talked about how apostles, the gift of apostles, the apostolic gift is given to people, a spiritual gift, it comes from the Holy Spirit living in them to help plant churches and help to do new works. And then we have the gift of pastor, teacher, that goes out to those that God calls to be the shepherds. The word pastor literally means shepherd. Shepherds of small congregations. And then we're going to talk today, we're going to pick on the deacons a little bit. Our deacons have been a little nervous about this one because they don't know how I'm going to do this. Brother Harold and Brother Bill, could you raise your hand or stand up so that everybody can see who our deacons are in this church? This is Brother Bill Rogers and Brother Harold Stiegel, and these gentlemen serve as deacons in our church, so I want to say thank you to them. They are servants here, and I know that they really don't like to get recognition, so I appreciate you being willing to stand and let everybody know who their deacons are, because I believe that they serve a very special purpose in this church, for others to be able to look to for prayer support and for guidance and for love and during times of need. And so we're going to get into whether or not, you know, what the biblical understanding of being a deacon is. First of all, we do know that it is a biblical position, because if we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops, which we learned that bishop means pastor, and deacons. Okay, so we can see these two positions being held in the early church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at that word deacon, just kind of do a little word study. I don't really go crazy with word studies, but it's important for us to know the definitions of words. And this comes from a Greek word, diakonos, which is servant, waiter, and literally as we define it today, deacon is the word that we use for that. And this comes from a complete biblical library of Greek and English. And so it's a blessing to know that literally the word deacon means servant. Sometimes in church structure, when we don't understand the biblical layout for this, people can get to thinking that the deacons are like the rulers of the church. And, you know, a lot of times deacons, they form a little board and they'll act just that way. And they try to rule the church almost with an iron hand. And when we get the meaning of the word, we kind of get a much different understanding of that. And so I want to praise God that our deacons in this church understand the biblical definition of the word deacon. They understand that it's a servant position. Yes, leadership as well, but it's a servant leadership. And that's what God calls us to. And so so as we see the same word in Scripture is used to describe one who serves as well as the office of deacon. So the reason why this is important is you need to all understand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, in one sense, you are a deacon. You're a servant, regardless of age or gender or whatever. You are a servant of God. And so in that respect, you too are deacons. But what we understand is there is an office that's specifically set apart for this as well. And so I put it as, but everybody's a lowercase deacon, but some are an uppercase deacon in position. And so we're going to look at what that position looks like so we kind of understand it just a little bit. The first biblical example of this that we get is from Acts chapter 6. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So we need to look at the, the deeper purpose and everything that was going on there, the backdrop of this. But one thing that we see from that is one of the qualifications, men that have a good reputation and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So this is important to see men filling these positions that really have that type of a description of who they are and what their life is like. Biblical purpose we find there as well in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the two verses before that, if you just kind of follow along with me there. It's important for us to see what was going on. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Hellenists were like Jews who lived in the Greek culture because the Jews were dispersed everywhere, but they had come to belief in Jesus, and there was a complaint because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution, and this was in Jerusalem. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And so therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And I'm going to keep reading if you just want to listen as I do. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And this is the key right here. As you look and follow along up on the board, the part that's underlined, I underlined that for special emphasis. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. That's the key. That's the key purpose for all of this, that we see thy kingdom come and thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so what happens is you've got the pastor or the leader in that area, the spiritual leader of the church, can get bogged down with a lot of the practical things that need to be done. And so because of that reason, the early church decided to separate out some men who showed that they had spiritual gifts to carry this out with wisdom, how to distribute the needs of others through the church. Same reason today that we select deacons as well, kind of as family servants, okay? Those who are in the church to help provide the needs of the church. And so I think it's very important for us to keep that in mind, that the whole reason for this, the greatest purpose, is not just to help the pastor out. It's not like, well, we don't want to overload the pastor, so we need to get some more people around him, that poor pastor. No, the pastor exists to try to help shepherd the church so the church will continue to grow by reaching others. And so therefore, we select some others to come alongside and help that purpose to continue to happen. So the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Okay? That needs to be our main focus, is always to see God's word spreading, God's family growing. And so let's just stop and pray for our church right now, because this is an important concern for every church. So let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would continue to grow this church. Lord, not just so we've got more people sitting in pews. That's not the purpose. But we want more people to know about Jesus. We want more people to be discipled, Lord. We're called to make disciples of all nations. If we're called to make disciples of all nations, that includes our own neighborhood right here where we live. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us as a church to be able to be formed in a biblical way, because I believe the first plan is always shown to be this, the best plan. The only way we can do that is with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. So let us do as we see the early church doing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now along with this calling, we know that we talked about spiritual gifts, okay? And of course we said sometimes we have to serve out of our area of giftedness in limited functions, right? Nobody has the gift of cleaning, or nobody has the gift of, taking out the trash. We don't see those gifts listed, but what we do see is the gift of serving listed. And so if that's really your gift, you're going to feel stoked whenever you're doing that type of service, okay? Maybe another person doesn't feel so stoked, but they walk by the trash can and they see that it's full and it's starting to flow over and stuff is falling out on the ground. So we get out of our area of giftedness for a moment and we take care of that need. Okay, so like we're going to see that in this family, just like we do in every other family. But really what I want you to do is I want you to find out where your greatest area of giftedness is and serve mostly in those areas, because you're going to be most satisfied. You're going to be most built up. You're going to experience a greater flow of the Holy Spirit through you as you do that. And so there's some men that will have more giftedness that they would be in a better place to be a deacon. And so we see that as we see what the qualifications are for a deacon in the Bible as well. So we're going to look at that real quick. 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 11, likewise deacons. The likewise is there because they've been talking about pastors or bishops before this. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued. Okay, they can't speak out of both sides of their mouth. Their yeses need to be yes. Their noes need to be no. Not given to much wine. Not greedy for money. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let those also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So we see, as we call a deacon who's married, I think it's important that they also, their wife, kind of be in on the fact that they're going to serve in this capacity as well. We wouldn't want to call a deacon and find that their wife was very much against it, okay, or that she wasn't in a position that she was going to be able to complement this ministry. So we see they kind of come as a couple in this. In fact, if we read on, it says in 1 Timothy 3, 12 and 13, let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we see there's a great desire there to have godly men to fill these different areas. God has put it out in that way. Husband of one wife means a one-woman man. It means somebody that's totally dedicated to their wife. And I think in this as well, brings glory to God by the way they treat their wife as well. Okay? I think that one of the ways that we make marriage attractive to the rest of the world is by having attractive marriages in the church as well and learning what does marriage look like from a godly perspective. So right here it says church leadership especially, that the men should definitely be one woman man that really loves their wife. If we look at what that looks like in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, it's very clear, a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might cleanse her by the washing of the water and the word. That's every man as a husband's first purpose with his wife, is to help lead her spiritually. And so I think that would definitely be seen as one of the qualifications here in this. And so as men are called out to this, then they're also to be somewhat tested in this for a time, okay? So that people aren't selected and put into positions. You ever notice in the church, and really in any area of life, it's a lot easier not to appoint somebody to a position too quickly than it is to try to remove a person once you find out maybe they shouldn't be in that position. You ever try to remove somebody from a position before and just say, you don't belong here, we can see that you're not really qualified for this, or this is not going well? What happens whenever you do that? Does anybody tell me? I see some looks on some faces. It doesn't go well. You know, people get their feelings hurt, obviously, and it causes great pain, okay? And, you know, the Bible actually discusses this. If we continue to read on in 1 Timothy, we'll just capture a couple verses here. On this next slide, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice. Do nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. That's what this is talking about. The way part of an ordination service, if you've ever been to one, a biblical part of it is whenever the elders will come and lay hands on the person who's being ordained. Both, and it's speaking of bishops here in this particular area of Scripture, but I believe it goes for deacons as well, any ordained men. And so as they ordain them, they lay hands on them to kind of pass their blessing on to that one as they pray over them to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do this. And so it tells us in verse 22 here, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in another person's sins. Keep yourself pure. In fact, it goes on to talk about how the sins of some are not seen quickly. Okay? So they need to be observed over a period of time. And so I think that it's very important that we realize that as men are called out in this position, I would pray that if you're feeling called to a higher walk with the Lord, young men in our church, that you start walking with Him diligently. Amen. You know, I've had people tell me before, well, I would really like to get into leadership in the church. Here's my advice to anyone who feels that way. Then what you need to do is start serving God diligently in every area of your life. And do you know what? It will be recognized by people who are filled with the Spirit, and God will put you in the areas of leadership that you need to be in. But the way we prepare for that is by being in the Word consistently and constantly, by serving in a sacrificial way with others, by showing our love for God openly and living that out, by keeping yourself unstained from the world, by really desiring to follow God, and over time that will be seen. Now we really desperately, I'm just going to tell you, we desperately need younger men to step up in our culture today and in this church and start serving with all of our hearts. What does that look like? Does that take away from your family for you to do that? I think absolutely not. If we do it right, it should lift up our family. You know, it should lift up our family as we serve the Lord in a more wholehearted way. Because serving the Lord isn't just what you do at church. It's what you're doing every day in life and affecting other people's lives and your family being part of it. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have our families together in worship. Some would say, well, it's just too much trouble to keep your kids still, or kids make too much noise and they move and things like that. I'm watching my wife deal with one of ours right now. Wiggly child, it's hard for them to sit still. But you know what? I think this is how we raise up a church for tomorrow. As they know, they're part of this deal even now. I think they're just going to just step right into these different areas as God calls them, because they're going to know what it looks like to see their parents worshiping God and serving the Lord together. They're going to see it as they grow up. And I'm not knocking Children's Church. I don't want you to hear me wrong. But in this church, we've decided that I think this is a good plan for the future of our children, that they're going to want to follow the Lord. And so I praise God for all you parents out here, because I know that you deal with trying to keep your child, you know, and all this. But I think it's a good plan. I think that our children are seeing what Christianity looks like lived out. Now live it from day to day in your homes too. And men, serve the Lord, serve your families, love your wives, and let's see more men being called to a higher walk with God, so that we have an abundance of men to fill these roles such as deacon in our church. Amen? And I think that is so important. And it's also important that our church recognize that we don't want to like try to manufacture this thing. I've seen churches that go, oh no, we don't have enough deacons, so we're just going to have to pick some warm bodies and just throw them in there, even though they're not qualified. In fact, we'll bend the qualifications. We'll bend God's Word. We'll re-explain it just so this works. Bad idea. Remember what I said? If a person winds up in a position they're not really qualified for, it's a disaster. It's a disaster to try to remove them later. So I think that it's important that we listen to God's Word on this, and we be careful in this. I got one little note. This won't be up on the screen. Just want to kind of go over this. You know, as we think about not laying hands on somebody too quickly and everything, I want you to understand, as God calls you out, you want to take your calling seriously as well. I don't know if you all know this or not. I don't want to scare anybody from following the Lord in their calling. But your church leaders come under greater attack sometimes from the enemy. I just want to say that. You know, I mean, the enemy tries to pick off the people that are trying to serve and trying to lead others sometimes. So pray for them, okay? Pray for us. Pray for me. You know, a lot of times people say, why is my name in the prayer list? You know, hey, I want my name to be the first one on the prayer list. Please pray for me. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. Please pray for our entire family because it is so important. I think that it's important because I'll tell you guys, out of these first seven guys that were chosen, I know they didn't get the name deacon, but they were deacons. Let's just face it. They fit the description. They're doing the job. That's what they're there. They're waiters. They were serving tables, okay? The daily distribution of food to the widows, okay? So out of those, one of them's the first recorded martyr, Stephen. He was a man who could teach and preach. He was filled with the Spirit. And he wound up getting martyred like in very quickly. Next couple chapters, okay? And in fact, it's the very next chapter that we see his great speech, and then they stoned him to death. And there was another one there, Nicholas. Nicholas, unfortunately, it seems that in church history, it's told that he got puffed up because of his position, and he fell, okay? If you look in the book of Revelation, we find this thing called the Nicolaitans. It was a false teaching that had gotten in the church where sexual immorality was really lifted up, and it was really dragging the church away. In fact, to the church of Pergamum, you know, in the first couple of chapters of Revelation, it talks about this. This was a heresy, and it kind of went along with the teaching of Balaam. Nicholas, literally the name Nicholas means one who conquers people. And Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, writes that Nicholas, one who was made a deacon in Acts chapter 6, was a false believer who later became apostate. But because of his credentials, he was able to lead the church astray. And like Balaam, he led people into immorality and wickedness. Nicolaitans, followers of Nicholas, were involved in immorality and assaulted the church with sensual temptations. Clement of Alexander says they abandoned themselves to pleasure like goats, leading a life of self-indulgence. Their teaching perverted grace and replaced liberty with license. So we can see how important it is, guys, that if we're called, we stay close to God. If we're called, we keep our eyes on Jesus. If we're in an area of leadership, it's for His glory, not ours. Okay? And so let's pray today for men who will allow themselves to be called out and follow the Lord and not get puffed up by that. It's so important that we do see this. Our church needs, without a doubt, this little body of Christ, more men and women called out to follow the Lord. Why don't we have women in the office of deacon in the church? It's literally because we don't see that example in Scripture, and also because it talks about women not being in a place of authority over men in the church as well. But are women deacons, servants? Oh, some of the best. Some of the best servants that we see in the church are our ladies. And so I want to praise God for all of you. But as we do see what the church structure looks like, we want our church to look like that as well. In fact, in our governing document, just take a second. I want you to see how we handle the office of deacon here in this church. First of all, we're called to identify men. Once a year, our deacon body that's here meets with the pastor at least once a year, and we talk about men that we may be seeing that type of qualification in their life. And from time to time, we've asked, as our governing document says, that they might serve alongside of us for a short period of time to see if that's what they're really being called to. Okay? And if they're not, it's no shame. They're just not, and it's okay. But if they are, then we want to help mentor them into that position. And I'll just read to you a little bit of the duties that's listed here for deacons in our church. And I'll just ask you, this is kind of a test for you, so listen close and tell me, do you think this sounds biblical? Duties. Deacons share a number of duties, but the core of their mission is in serving the Lord is twofold: to serve the pastor and to serve the church as God allows. All deacon responsibilities should follow from these two core objectives. Prayer, service, these are just some listed out, okay? Prayer, service, support and advice for pastor, communication of needs among one another and the pastor, stewardship automatically on the finance committee, and one of the property and emergency expenditures, use of all that money as authorized by the pastor and 2/3 of the deacons in a benevolence fund. Above all other duties, a deacon's responsibility is to serve God however God leads. Practices for deacons to avoid. The deacons do not manage the pastor or tell him what to do. Deacons are not representatives of the congregation. Rather, they are servants to all. The church belongs to God, not the deacons. And there is no board of deacons. Rather, we have individual deacon family ministers. And so that's the attitude in the governing body of our church. And so do you think that sounded biblical? Do I get a thumbs up from anybody? I think that we've tried to use the Bible as a model for that description of what deacon ministers are like. And so I want to praise God for our deacons in this church. And I know they don't want us to, but I'd like to give them a hand of thank you for the way that they serve. Amen? And so I'm sorry, guys, because I know you don't want that, but I want us to have the blessing of expressing gratitude to our deacons. They take on a lot of responsibility of prayer, and whenever people are struggling, they feel it. And so if you ever need spiritual guidance, I really want to encourage you. Don't be afraid to talk to these men. Don't be afraid to have them pray for you. And they're very discreet in the way they handle things. And so I'm very thankful for that. And to all of our young men, please, rise up to what God's calling you to. Serve with all your heart. To all of our young ladies, God has a special way, a very quiet way that He carries out His plan through our ladies. And I'm so thankful for the way our church is. Guess what? The next one we're going to talk about next week is, I'm planning to talk about the office of church member. And so this one will be a good one for all of us to hear. Amen. Something I did before I started serving as the pastor of this church, I moved my membership to this church. And I think it's even more important than the office of pastor. So let's have a word of prayer. And before we do, though, I would like to also say that you really can't have spiritual gifts until you have the Holy Spirit living in you. I bet there's not a person in this place that wouldn't want to make the world a better place. Amen? Do you want to make the world a better place? Raise your hand. Amen. Absolutely. I can tell you, God cares more about this world than we do. And what He wants to do is He wants you to submit your life to Him, and He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, Holy Spirit living in you can do more to make this world a better place than you can with an entire lifetime. Because before I had the Holy Spirit living in me, I really couldn't love you the way that I can now. Because guess what? God loves you, every one of you, in a perfect way. And so when He sends His Holy Spirit to live in you, you can love others in a much closer to perfect way. That can't happen until you confess your sins to God and turn your life over to Jesus. You know that when Jesus died on that cross, He showed Himself to be servant of all. He bore our sin. He became our sin, and He died with our sin on that cross. And if you will accept Him, your sin will not be held against you on the day of judgment. Repent of your sin today. Take the payment that Christ paid for it upon yourself. Be covered, literally, in the grace of Jesus. Be covered in the blood of Jesus today. Some say, well, it sounds difficult. It isn't. It's as simple as just surrendering yourself to Jesus. Your will, your way, your sin, and saying, Jesus, lead me. I want to follow You. So let me pray for you, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I know You're moving in people's hearts today. I know the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. You may be calling some of our young men to a deeper walk with You. They know You're calling them. You've given them gifts that they might serve as deacons and church leadership in the church, Lord. If that's the case, then I just pray they'll submit it to You and lay everything out on the altar and just say, Lord, here I am. Prepare me. Prepare me. Help me to stay submitted to You. Help me to walk with You. Lord, for anyone that's in this room that realized today, I don't think I even have the Holy Spirit living in me. And Lord, the first thing they need to do is turn their life over to You. Call on Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Call on You, believing that You died on that cross for our sins. You were the payment. After having lived that perfect life, you died and then you rose again on the third day, as the little children were telling me about. And Lord, that you live forevermore and you are preparing a place in heaven for everybody who follows you. Lord, some would say everybody's going to heaven, but what I know for a fact is the Bible tells us only those who believe in Jesus will be in heaven. And so, Lord, beyond that, that is the gift we need to receive so we can serve you and make this world a better place as well. So, Lord, I pray that if anyone wants to turn their life over to Jesus, today would be the day of salvation. And then, Lord, just help us all to serve you in whatever way you have called us to serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's the question.
Praise the Lord. Let's give God a hand. Amen. He is good. I want you to understand something. This song comes from Revelation. And they're talking about the robes that are whiter than any other robes because they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so I want to have one of those robes. Amen? And it'll be God who puts it on me. I can't put it on myself, but God will put it on me. As far as announcements go, we're going to recognize birthdays here in just a minute. But one of the biggest announcements I want to bring up to you is that we have September the 9th, we have an evangelism meeting, conference, service, whatever you want to call it, at 7 p.m. over at Deloge, First Baptist Deloge. I want you all to come. I think you'll be built up and blessed by it. They're going to have good singing. That'll be just building us up in the Spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit will really show up. So if you're available that evening, that's a Saturday evening, please come. Be a part of that. We're going to have a speaker, Jay Scribner, and he's going to encourage us to share our faith in ways that we can do that. And then also, don't forget, in September, on the 24th, we're having our homecoming celebration here, and we're going to celebrate the fact we paid off the building this year. We have made our final payment on the building. It's paid off. And so that's going to be one less burden. But that just means God can use us to do more things. And so that's what we're looking forward to. And also, following the 24th, 25th through the 28th, we're going to be having revival services here every night at 7 p.m., so I want you to be praying about that, okay? And I believe God's going to bring a message for all of us to encourage us, so let's plan on attending. That's right. When do we want to do it? Okay, I said I was going to announce the date of the cottage prayer meeting for the revival services, and it's going to be next Friday evening at this coming Friday evening. Yeah. We get in these discussions. See, Sunday is the first day of the week, and so I'll say next, but it means this. And so, anyway, what is the date for this Friday? The 8th. September the 8th at our house at 7? 6:30? 6:30. Okay? So if you want to come pray, You can bring a little snack, and we'll have some fellowship afterwards. Okay? So can you guys repeat that back to me? What date is it? September 8th? Okay. At what time? 6:30. All right. Perfect. All right. Please be there. If you need to know where I live, just let me know, and I'll give you the address. Okay? Birthdays. Birthdays.